Today's reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 4 to 8. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You know what, Pastor Jenny asked me to do the message today. I was so proud of myself that I had the scripture and everything all dialed in 2 weeks before. And if you notice, what Greg read and that the scripture for today isn't the same that's in the bulletin. So even though I thought I was hot stuff, apparently I kind of wasn't. I'd like to start today with a couple of humorous stories that I found that composed by a Christian writer, Lori Garcia. The first one is, how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is, we don't know. They're still standing in a circle praying for the light to come back on. Another story is about a man stranded on an island for 5 years, and he was finally rescued. The one rescuing noticed that he built 3 huts. The man said, what are the huts for? The man said, one was for my house and one was for my church. The rescuer said, okay, that makes sense. But what about the third hut? The man replied, that was the church I used to go to before I changed denominations. Ouch. It is a privilege today for me to share thoughts about our God and our faith. One of the policies of the Methodist Church is that it encourages lay members to share their personal stories from the pulpit. Each of us has a personal story about our relationship with God. I would encourage you to consider giving testimony about your unique walk with God. Today I would like to speak about the life cycle of a Christian. The idea for this message came to me as Karen and I were arranging books in one of our home bookshelves. During this reordering, I came across an old college botany textbook. After flipping through the pages of this journal, I again familiarized myself with the stages of the life cycle of a plant. It was at that point God nudged me into thinking that would be an interesting topic to bring alive the faith journey of a Christian in a message. So bear with me a little while and I'll establish a connection between plant physiology and Christianity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray at this time that you would silence in us any voice but yours, that hearing your word we may believe, and that by believing in your word, we may obey your will for us this day. Amen. In today's gospel lesson, the Apostle John recounts the details of a metaphor Jesus used specifically to illustrate the relationship between a vine and a branch. In today's scripture lesson, Jesus uses the word abide frequently. In the New Interpreter Commentary, the contributor states that to abide or remain expresses the central theme of the relationship of God and Jesus with one another and with the community, which is one of presence and mutuality. The vine imagery symbolizes how the life of the Christian community is shaped by love and intertwined with the abiding presence of God and Jesus. The branch is dependent on the vine to sustain its very existence. The life cycle of a plant has six elements. They are emerging, vegetative expansion, flowering, fruit set, fruit ripening, and senescence. A plant typically begins its life as a seed. This seed starts out underground, submerged in the soil. With the addition of water, the seed erupts into the above the ground and into the light. The seedling has begun its journey to becoming a plant. A Christian emerges into his or her beliefs through the witness of family or church teachings. My earliest memories of church were sitting in an ornate, elaborate edifice, Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, with spectacular, colorful stained glass windows and very, very, very hard wooden pews. I must confess the dread I had for the seemingly endless sermons and ritual. Our only delight as children during services was watching as Mom poked my father in the ribs to keep him from snoring. Yet still my early perceived boredom, I sensed something spiritual and wonderful about the notion of God and a sense of belonging to a church family. The second phase in the life cycle of a plant is vegetative expansion. In this phase, the plant begins to grow and begins the process of photosynthesis. During this reaction, a plant used with chlorophyll takes light, water, and carbon dioxide to produce food, which sustains all life. This stage of the plant cycle is necessary for the survival of this planet. Similarly, an emergent Christian begins to grow and learn about the tenets of Christianity. A youngster is exposed to the Bible and its characters. I used to look forward to the adventures of Bible heroes in Sunday school. Who could forget the larger-than-life stories of Moses and his victory over Pharaoh and his armies, or the story of Samson and his ultimate revenge over the Philistines, or Joseph and his coat of many colors, or David, the small, overlooked shepherd boy who defeated a giant, or the unwavering bravery of Ruth and Esther, and of course, the miracles of Jesus. It gives my heart joy to watch the children of our church in a full sprint down the aisle to sit at the altar and listen to the stories of the Bible. This growth as Christians continues as adults as we further gain insights into Scripture when participating in small group ministry. I am continually amazed at the wisdom and acumen that can be experienced through another's interpretation of the very same Bible verse. Our Bible truly is a living document. The next stage in the plant cycle is flowering. In this stage, a healthy plant forms its means of reproduction. From this green entity, a showy, colorful structure bursts open. The flower petals form an inviting arena for insects and birds to investigate. The flower exists as a mechanism to form a seed and a fruit. The flowering stage for a Christian is where a believer discovers his or her spiritual gifts. This flowering pairs up a Christian with an avenue to serve the Lord. It is truly divine to witness someone who finds a niche in our church and watch them grow in ministry. As believers, we also reveal our spiritual blooms in the world of our, with our jobs, work sites, and offices. We are called to Christians to unveil the love of Jesus around, to those around us with blossoms of kindness and love. In the front of our house is a 40-year-old magnolia tree. Every late March, this beautiful tree explodes with a spectacular array of sweet-smelling white flowers. This majestic display brightens up our whole house and is a glorious way to usher in the spring season. Boy, spring, get here quick, please. In a similar way, our church family is a source of warmth and joy visiting our church for the first time. I've heard visitors say more than once, and I'm sure you have, this sure is a friendly place, our collective flowering at work. The next stages in the plant cycle are fruit set and fruit ripening. In this stage, portions of the flower develop into seed or seeds surrounded by a fleshy growth. Eventually, this fruit matures into a colorful yield. A mammal or bird then carries the fruit away from the plant and invariably deposits the seed in another location. This process facilitates the spreading of the plant's reproductive capabilities to additional locations unavailable to a sessile or stationary tree. The fruit ripening occurs in a Christian when a believer spreads the word of God through a living out loud of their spiritual gifts. There is nothing more uplifting than to see a person marry their talents in a means of service to the church. We have all seen instances of where one in our church family is placed in a position of leadership and that particular ministry flourishes. For example, there are those competent in fiscal matters who zealously guard our church's finances, or members who are proficient in administrative matters who organize and implement programs to help the church run smoothly. There are those who teach either small groups or Sunday school to enlighten young and old about the wonder of God. There are those who grace our worship service with their gifts of song and music and words. Our mission teams make sure a family in need can get food at any time right outside our building. They provide many a child with a Christmas present under their family tree who might otherwise not have one. There are many others who offer particular fruits to serve our church. Together, our fruits collectively contribute to make up the body of Christ. In the context of today's gospel lesson, in order to continue to ripen and spread the seeds of faith, we must hold fast to the vine. We as branches of Christianity need to tenaciously attach ourselves to Jesus. This is necessary to sustain the doctrine of Christ and remain true to our core beliefs. The final stage in the plant cycle is senescence. Senescence is a euphemism for decay. Most plants in the temperate time zone at the end of the growing season begin to recede in the face of winter. Trees and perennial plants hibernate their life-sustaining portions underground. The green segments above the ground evolve into a decaying mass and to eventually replenish the soil's nutrients. The very sustenance a plant needs comes from the soil that is enriched by decomposing vegetation. It is necessary, therefore, that components of the plant must perish in order for the cycle of the plant to be maintained. In 1785, a scientist named Antoine Lavoisier established through extensive experiments the law of conservation of mass. This law states that matter cannot be created or destroyed. So according to this theory, there is a finite amount of matter or stuff in our world. Therefore, even though matter can be rearranged in space, it can never be lost. I also believe this is true in the spiritual realm. The faith journey of a believer is a shared collection of values and testimony that is never, never lost. Just as there is conservation of Mass, there is also a preservation of our Christian doctrine that will live forever. It's an essence in the Christian lifestyle is where the divine spirit that lives in believers is shared and passed on to others in the faith community. Our church has been blessed with many warriors of God who have helped blaze a path for all of us to follow. The passion and devotion of these predecessors serves examples for us to follow. Our faith community's successes are directly proportional to church guardians' dedication and commitment. The perennial status of our denomination depends on the subsistence its lay members and clergy provide. Our very church has evolved through the same steps of the Christian life cycle. Our congregation emerged from a vision of a collection of clergy and church leaders. These faith pioneers from Midlothian, Oak Forest, Tinley Park, and Orland Park had a dream of a larger church to minister more effectively to the suburban Southwest Side. We collectively took a leap of faith and sold our churches. From there, we worshiped in a movie theater, having to set up and take down worship paraphernalia every Sunday. Who remembers worshiping in the Marcus Theater? We navigated our way through our existing church customs and growing pains to develop into a vibrant, dedicated community of believers. Soon after, by the grace of God, the church building we worship in today became available. Our church then began to flower and offer its fruits to our community. We persist in our faith journey and provide a home for many who use this building to serve and nurture those in need. What a cool thing it is to see our building being used by so many groups. They call our church home. To sum up, I would like to refer to the lyrics of an old lullaby that we all learned when we were quite young. In fact, it was probably the first hymn we were ever taught. The name of the song is Jesus Loves Me. It was written first as a poem by Anna Bartlett Warner in 1860 for a children's book written by Anna Bartlett Warner in 1860 for a children's book written by her sister, Susan Warner. The verse was set to music by William Bradbury in 1862. If you remember the words, would you recite them with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. What a wondrous notion that we have the blessed assurance that Jesus loves us no matter what. Jesus gives us his promise in the image of a connection between a vine and a branch. His love is strong and constant. How do we know this? Because the Bible tells us so. Although we may be small or little in the backdrop of an immense universe, Jesus is mighty and strong enough as a vine to keep us attached. The final verses of this song affirm God's love and steadfast intimacy that we as branches have by affirming the fact over and over, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I'd like to close with a personal story. It's Karen and I have been blessed with three beautiful children, and our two boys were born in the 80s and 90s, and about 10 years later, we got our lovely daughter, Kristen. And Kristen, when she was growing up, love to read books, and especially photo albums, which she called picture books. And she took particular delight in being able to identify all the members of our family that were in those photo books. So one day she was, Kristen was sitting with Karen, and she said, and there was a picture, and she said, "That's Eric, that's Brian, that's Mommy, that's Daddy." She said, "Mommy, where am I?" And she said, "Oh, honey, you weren't born yet. But if you look, you were a twinkle in your father's eye." And so she said, "Oh, okay." So a couple days later, it was my turn to read books, and Kristen was on my lap, and we had the same, exact same photo. And she said, "Daddy, I know everybody." I said, "Okay, that's Eric, that's Brian, that's Mommy, that's you." And then she said, "That's me." I said, "Honey, that's, you know, clueless as I am. Honey, that's Daddy, that's not you." "Oh yeah, that's me. See the twinkle?" No matter where you are in the cycle of Christianity, hold fast to the vine of Jesus, and you will always be the twinkle in God's eye. Amen.